To you. Welcome to Weekend Gardener. I'm Tom Campbell, obviously not Mike Raley. Mike Raley is in Norway, and he's going to try calling us a little later this morning. But with us today in studio are Nelsa Cox from Greensboro, and of course Rufus Edmiston, who is a fixture here on Weekend Gardener and a longtime friend of all of us. And we welcome you to listen to us today. Got a lot to talk about. But the heat is probably the number one topic on everybody's mind today. And the weather forecast says we ain't getting any relief to speak of. 93 is what they're projecting today so far as the high is concerned. Nelson, this heat has had an effect on our crops. We've been sort of fortunate here in the Raleigh-Durham area. We've had some good rainstorms, not necessarily the best kind of rains that we needed because they weren't long soaking rains, but we've had rain. Down on the coast, those folks down there are faring bad.
Well, I drove down to Oak Island from the Greensboro area on Sunday, and corn was really struggling.
Drying in the field.
Yes, but now I came back through yesterday from Oak Island to Wake County. My house is in Apex, and I was glad that a lot of the areas, Faison and all the areas, the corridors, some of the back roads have been receiving some thunderstorms and showers that aren't just dumping the rain, but accumulating some good inches. So the corn looked relieved on my return trip. So I was really happy to see that. Absolutely.
Speaking of relief, it ain't going to be a relief when we get our electric bills, are they, Rufus?
And water bills. I think I saw this morning where Oak Island has put a restriction on water usage, that they're in a little bit of a drought.
So. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Duke, I mean, this is terrible so far as putting stress on the grid, the power grid.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if Duke Energy didn't come tell us they want us to either turn our thermostats way up or don't use it at certain times of the day.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking, Tom, about how this is so stressful on crops. How about human beings?
Now, them.
Yeah, every time of this time of the year, I get sort of sickly because of the humidity, and my grandmother called that the black bile. I don't know what she meant by that, but Grandma, I got it again.
And
it's debilitating, a sick feeling, and people need to carry water with them if you're going to be outside. Now, I did water this morning at about 6:30. I watered all my tomatoes and a lot of other things.
Yeah, you about have to water them every day.
Every day.
Yeah, the leaves just all get wilted on my plants.
Well, and I think really good points there, Rufus. That's key, is plants are going to take up water much better in early morning hours than they are through the day. So it's just kind of a defense mechanism for the plant built
and
in.
And good for a human being.
And good for human beings. And I was going to say, I mean, your point on is that's the key, is you gardeners get out there early in the morning, get your sweat on, get you a cool shower, plants will be happy, and you'll be happy.
Yeah, I figured out that the best way to do my yard work is like 6:30 in the morning, because by the time it hits 10, you need to be in.
I think that's the best part of the day anyway.
Yeah. Well, the weather, the heat, the air conditioning bills, the water bills, I think there's going to be a shock coming for that. But at the same time, if you want your yards and gardens green, Rufus, you brought me in a beautiful tomato today. Mine are really producing pretty well.
Well, that's Cousin Gladys.
Craig LaHoulier will be very proud of.
Yeah. Well, he said this, Tom, on the last time he was on our show, he said he's going to send a Rufus for us to eat. Now, I want to know how he's going to get that thing here. I'm sure he will mail it.
To wrap it in some serious bubble wrap.
Serious bubble wrap.
And put some cool packs on it.
And so we'll have a, I hate to say this in front of Nelsa, mayo. She hates mayo.
Really?
Yeah, just, oh my God.
You don't love Duke's mayo?
No.
And you claim to be a Southerner?
If I did, it would be Duke's. It wouldn't be Hellman's or like Rufus grew up on, what was that, the Whip?
Oh, it was
the
Whip. Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip.
Oh, yeah. that's nasty.
Yeah. So well, I am a equal opportunist, but when it comes to a tomato, I like all the flavor of the tomato. I don't want anything to ruin it. So tomato and some light bread and a little bacon and lettuce, that's all you need. It drips down your arm. It is yum, yum.
Yeah, no, we had a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich the other day with one of our Cherokee Purples.
Now what is the acronym for
BLT?
BLT.
Yeah, got a BLT.
There's no M in it.
No.
No mayonnaise in it.
No.
So there you go. I take it literally.
There is Duke's on it, though, on both sides of the white bread. Right, Rufus?
Oh, I call it light bread. And Sunbeam. I don't toast my
Sunbeam,
either. A lot
yeah.
of people toast their bread. No, not with a with a tomato sandwich.
No, you want that. You want that juice just to soak in there in the bread.
Sir. Stand over the kitchen sink.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And my brother Joe, I remember that. He would stand over the kitchen sink. Mama say, son, you look awful. He said, hey, it's so good, Mama. It's so good. Now, Nelson and I are trying to figure out what kind of tomato that is. Those are from seeds that Cousin Gladys sent me about 6 years ago. I put them in the, I grew them from seed and then turned them over to Phil, and she put them in her hothouse, and Nelson's got a vine that's got, what,
27. And they're all half pound to three quarter pound
size. It's a large tomato.
I'm going to take some seeds from this one.
It has a, I don't know how to describe it.
It kind of has a, well, I haven't tried the actual fruit yet, but it kind of, the shape of it and the color of it does look like it has some German Johnson heritage in it.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is a great heirloom, old time tomato. It's definitely still my favorite.
I tried some mortgage lifters, which came from the German Johnson, but I didn't have any luck with them. But we've got a place down on near Oriental, and there's a farmer's stand down there, Paul's Produce, and we go to Paul's Produce, and he had this whole table of the biggest, juiciest, reddest looking tomatoes you ever saw, and I said, Paul, what variety is this tomato? He said, red. Well, I took the seeds from it, and I'm growing them, and I'm calling them Paul's Big Red Tomatoes.
Yeah, big red.
That's funny.
That's all you can do.
Well, I had the privilege this year of getting most of, probably 90% of my tomatoes from Gerald.
Yeah.
I think he was on last weekend.
Yeah, he was.
And if he's listening, he talked me into the berries crazy. Rufus, I was showing you pictures of that, but it's kind of like a cream banana. It's a little more elongated than a Sun Gold. Sun Gold's still my favorite small tomato.
Yes. Oh, yes.
But this berries crazy, oh, my gosh, they're really good. I mean, they got a little meat. They've got some flavor. They're small. They're great in salads. They're great on, I was telling Rufus, a little bruschetta with mozzarella, basil, and a little balsamic. They are fabulous, and I've grilled some as well. They are fantastic, and there's hundreds on one plant. Hundreds.
Wow.
It's the biggest cluster I've ever seen. If you look at the flat, one day I walked out, this was 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I thought, what is all the gray webbing? But there are so many, just tomato flowers that it looked kind of gray and pubescent. And I was like, wow.
But even with
really
all this,
cool.
with all this water that we're putting on these plants every day, production seems to have slowed. Tomato production seems to have slowed. Is that the case with y'all?
Yeah, I mean, you'll see some of the flowers that may not get pollinated. If you get the humidity and the pollen stays wet, or just gets so hot and it dries up. But I'm still seeing some activity. Like what I find is the ones that I have more in a reprieve from the afternoon sun, they're still getting good flower buds.
I think Nell's success is mainly she keeps them fertilized.
Tomato tome, baby. Calcium.
All over it.
Yeah, 8% calcium.
At least every other week.
Yes.
No question about it. And water.
I've gone through probably almost 40 pounds of tomato tome for the crop that I have.
And I was
growing.
Having some problems with coming out in the morning and seeing part of a tomato being eaten up, and I can't tell whether it's birds or chipmunks or
squirrels.
In fact, last week y'all were talking about it, and I thought I hadn't done anything about this. So I went in and got some of that I Must Garden, sprinkled around the outside of I do container garden.
Okay.
Sprinkled it around, stopped.
Yep.
That's good stuff.
I swear by that.
Yeah, I do too.
I need to get some today.
I do that. I have my mother collects daylilies, and so I hope you're listening, Mom, but she's got an area of some, I call them high-dollar daylilies that we collected the last two or three years. So we have a bunch of those that are like a 200, that's about 180 feet, 20 feet wide. So I have that deer fenced in, and they're beautiful, beautiful showcase. But then there's hundreds of other daylilies that we're using the I Must Garden deer. As long as we do it every couple weeks, even though it says, 30 days, we're just hitting them up every 2 weeks, and it's just working wonders.
Well, I tried something new.
Away.
The bunny rabbits have been eating my roses.
Peppers. Man, they eat my peppers.
Well, they eat my roses. And so I was reading somewhere, I think on YouTube or something like that, to take a little web-type sack and put Irish Spring soap in it. Bunny rabbits don't like Irish Spring soap. Now, the problem with it is you get a good rain, the soap washes away.
Yeah.
You got to go back out and do it again.
Yeah, and that's one of the remedies that folks used to give for deer as well, is hang like a dozen bars of soap in a tree. And, but I don't know, it's a little
don't have deer, but a question I wanted to ask y'all. So, Rufus, you've seen our house, and in the back of the house, I've got a row of irises. I call them grandma's irises. They're purple bearded irises
That's awesome.
I selected from my grandmother. And behind that, I've got some lantana plants.
Okay.
Well, the lantana plants weren't growing and thriving because the iris leaves were. So I know you're supposed to prune those iris leaves and cut them diagonally and so forth. I did it about the 1st of June. Is that too early?
I don't think
no.
so.
I didn't cut it back too far. I left 2 or 3 inches.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that's fine. We cut ours back actually a little earlier than that just to get
after
a little bacterial spot. But in July, that we're on the hills of, is a great month to divide your irises.
I'm going to have to do it. But we had a beautiful show of them this year. I mean,
wow. Well, I'm going to speak for my mother and hope that next time I see you, you will share one, because she also collects hostas, iris, and daylilies.
I will promise you I will do that, because these things have really multiplied to the point where it's almost too crowded in that bed, and I've got to divide them. But when to dig them?
July. Divide them and dig them in July.
All right. And then keep them cool
in the dark.
And
it's the heritage to know that it came from your grandmother.
Listen.
See, that's
every time
that's
I look
key.
At one of them, I think about that little old lady. She was a stitch, as she would say.
Well, she's like your mother. She is.
She was a stitch. Well, so she'd get out. She never wore shorts. She never wore slacks.
Like Rufus.
I'm not going to.
Well, if you've ever seen Rufus's legs, you probably aren't. But anyway, so she'd get out there in the garden with a butcher knife, and garden. In her dress with those hose, that roll up sort of mid-calf and you roll them down.
Oh, yeah, they're very attractive.
Wow. Probably good for circulation.
Listen, let me tell you something. She was character. She was absolutely a character. But every time I look at those irises, I think about grandmother.
That's awesome.
But I'm going to be splitting them and sharing them, and I promise you I will bring you some. Don't let me forget.
I won't.
But and keep them dark and cool after you split them until you're ready to plant them again in the fall, right?
You could even dig them, divide them, and plant them now. I mean, they don't need a ton of moisture. The moisture's
in the bowl. Well, I thought October was when you planted them.
That is when bare roots are available to, you know, most garden centers or that type of thing. But you don't, I mean, you can plant them after you divide them. You don't have to wait.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, well, speaking of my legs, one time I had shorts on years ago, and my neighbor saw me and said, "Where'd you get that chicken you rode up on?" I quit. I quit. No more shorts for me.
Oh, me. 860-9783 is the number you can call to participate on Weekend Gardener. We'll be back after these messages.
What happened to...
Thank you, Joel. Welcome back to Weekend Gardener. Tom Campbell here today, subbing for Mike Rayleigh, who is in Norway. Mike tells me the temperatures over there are 60 degrees.
Upper 50s, 60s, sounds great.
Can you believe
me.
That? Yeah, he said he wished he could ship some of it home. And
I'll take 100 pounds.
Yeah, that's right. I'll tell you what, we could use some of it.
Absolutely.
We were talking about growing things. Every 2 or 3 or 4 years, Lib makes pickles, sweet pickles, because she cuts it up and uses it in her chicken salad and potato salad.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we'd run out, so we went through a recipe of pickles, and that's an ordeal. But those things are just as crisp and good.
Mm, love me some pickles.
She told me, she said, "Now, don't you get generous and start offering these pickles to anybody."
Right.
These got to last me a couple of years.
Well, Mama made it in a crock jar. I remember that.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
A crock jar.
And they'd sit there and just sit I guess you'd, what were you, putting lime in it to get them crisp? And then you'd put the...
Yep, yep.
Then you'd put the actual juice in it to...
And she'd put, what's that, cloth over the top of the...
Like a cheesecloth?
Cheesecloth, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think...
All right, Tom, I'm going to play a joke played on me and Nelsa. All right, Nelsa, you know what that is. That's...
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
In Koceana.
Okay.
to be technical.
Yeah.
True that.
About a month ago, you missed the garden party, wonderful party, and I said, "Nelsa, I cannot... tell you what kind, this is a tomato plant, or allegedly a tomato plant, from my friend Jim Canoy in Randolph County." She said, "No, that's a pepper plant." Well, here you are. It was 4 o'clock.
Isn't that funny?
We've got some 4 o'clocks down at our place on the coast, and I'll tell you what, my aunt planted them. We've been down there since 1996, and she planted them back in the 70s, and they're just still... They come up. They like a lot of shade.
Well,
a little bit of sun.
Mine go right big time in the sun.
Really?
Mine are in the sun, too.
Really?
And one time at Farrington Village, I saw multicolored ones, and I collected some seeds, but I haven't got them to really get established yet.
Huh.
But multicolored at Farrington Village, a 4 o'clock.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that? You wouldn't think that.
That's probably back when Jenny Gregory was there.
Oh, yes.
It's been
20 years ago.
Yeah.
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 But the 4 o'clocks that are at the beach, at our Oak Island beach, came from our neighbors. They kind of spread into the yard. And so I dug up a couple clumps, got them on the farm in Greensboro, and shared seeds. I mean, it's just one of those plants that
is
just
they
prolific.
Get within an inch of the ground, they grow.
Yeah. They get the ground running.
Have you noticed that tuber? It almost looks like a sweet potato.
Yes.
On that 4 o'clock.
Yes.
It's so doggone big and hard to dig out.
Yeah.
Well,
but I just let them go wherever they are.
Well, and I love them. I mean, they open up in the afternoon
at 4 o'clock,
put on a show,
yep.
And then they close up at night,
yep.
And they
come back the next day.
Come back the next day. There's no question about it. How are your figs coming?
Huge.
Now, what kind of figs have you got?
They're brown turkey.
The brown turkey are the best.
Love them. Love
them.
We
usually put up, as Rufus knows, we put up about 17 or 20 half pints of fig preserves every year.
And they're wonderful.
And so it's been a while since we've been down there. In fact, the last time we were down there, Rufus, was that weekend that you were doing the garden party. And I'm sorry we couldn't attend, but we hadn't been going down there very much lately.
Right.
And so...
Well, I'm going to have to, minor Celeste, and I'm going to have to say your brown turkey's fine, but that Celeste has always been there.
Now, we're going to have to throw down right now.
Yeah.
Annabelle.
Yep, Annabelle, okay. I have right here, Tom, the biggest.
That's basketball size.
That's a basketball.
I've never seen a hydrangea that big.
That's a monster.
That is a mop-head monster.
That's got to be at least 12 inches across.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to come back after the news and a break from John Champion. And I want to talk to you a little bit about Charlie Gaddy and his funeral this week.
Wonderful.
Welcome back to Weekend Gardener. It's already 88 degrees out there, so it's going to be a hot one today, 93. I'm Tom Campbell, sitting in for Mike Raley today, who is in Norway. The skunk, it's 60 degrees over there. He's going to call us a little while later. But with us is Nelsa Cox and Rufus Edmiston and Joel at the controls as our producer. Welcome to Weekend Gardener. Glad to have you today. I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about Charlie Gaddy. There are a number of people who remember Charlie, who know Charlie, knew Charlie. 93 years of age when he died. Charlie is one of these quintessential Southern gentlemen, and everything that is said about him is absolutely true. I mean, there's some funerals you go to and you listen to the eulogy or the homily or whatever they want to call it, and you say, did that guy really know this person? Because the reality of what they're telling about and who you knew were totally different. Charlie was a different one altogether. And I didn't realize it until Jim Goodman said that Charlie has been retired for 31 years. You know, he got his start. He's from Biscoe, North Carolina. He got his start in Washington, D.C. He was an intern, a page for NBC television up there.
Never knew that.
That's where he met Nancy, and they started dating and married and moved back down here. And there might be some of our listeners who still remember Charlie came to WPTF. His first job in this area was at WPTF. He did a program every morning called Ask Your Neighbor. And, I mean, it was just one of these kinds of programs where people would call in and say, can you give me a good recipe for blueberry cobbler? Yeah, stuff like that. And right. It's where everybody sort of – it was a community place where everybody gathered during the day. And he had such a perfect personality for it. He was patient as Job and just a really fine guy, and then went to television. And Jim Goodman told the story about how he got over – to WRAL, and at first they moved him over, and they were starting to do a TV show over there called Good Morning Charlie. And Jim said that he did that because his grandfather, Mr. A.J. Fletcher, the patriarch of Capital Broadcasting, had heard him on the radio, as his wife had heard him on the radio, and thought, that young boy is a comer. He's a good one. And so they hired him to do this talk show. Well, it never really took off, but it was about the time that television was really getting into the news business full scale. And Jim was the production manager at the television station at the time. And so he decided to talk to Charlie, and the two of them got together and said, we are going to make WRAL the news station in the Triangle. And boy, they did it. And of course, Charlie was just the perfect anchor for WRAL News. And I love this funeral. It was about a two-hour-long funeral. It was like a Capital Broadcasting reunion. You'd have loved it, Rufus. You remember we taped over there on Thursday nights.
Oh, yes.
And Clarence Williams, our producer, and so many of the crew that used to be with us over there when we taped NC Spin were all there to pay their respects to him. But Bruce Stanley, who's just retired as president of the Methodist Home for Children here in Raleigh, Bruce did the eulogy. And he said that Charlie had asked him to do it many years ago because Bruce had been his pastor at Eatonton Street Methodist Church at some point. And so he asked him to do it, and he gave him an envelope. And he said, now, Bruce, don't open this until after I'm dead.
Wow.
And so Bruce said he followed the instructions, and he stood up in front of this audience there at Eatonton Street, and he said, I opened up that audience. That envelope and that letter, and it said, Dear Bruce, I've never died before, so I don't know exactly what to do.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was just like that. People, Deborah Morgan reminisced with stories about Charlie, and then Goodman talked about Charlie, and it was one of these celebrations where if you walked out of that church and didn't feel better after you came out than you did when you went in, there's something wrong with you.
So a real celebration of life.
It was absolutely. And they all talked about the loves of his life, Nancy and his dogs. And, he lived up here on Blue Ridge Road. And so it was just a wonderful, wonderful tribute that at first I said, I don't want to get dressed up and go down there and get in that crowd, and so I'm so glad I did.
Wow.
So amen. Glad.
I have a Charlie story. I met him about 49 years ago. I think I was 12. But he was the honorarium at our swim banquet.
Uh-huh.
At Four Stokes Country Club. But anyway, he was funny.
Never forgot him, did you?
Yep, yeah. Never forgot him, and then remembered seeing him on TV all
yeah.
the time.
We'll be back with more Weekend Gardener in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Weekend Gardener. I promised you Mike Raley, and here he is from Norway. Good morning, Mike.
Hey there, Tom. Rufus and Nelsa, I have a little bit of laryngitis, but I'll try to get through this. I'm in the ultimate Norway scene right now. We're in Flom, Norway, which is north of Bergen, and there's snow up the higher peaks, and we're in one of the the bays here, parks, and there's a tiny little village.
I thought Flom was something
green.
You eat.
Flom Bay?
Well, F-L-A-M, that's Flom. Isn't that something you eat?
Yeah. That's it's a
dessert,
tiny
I
little
think.
Village
yeah.
in Norway.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's a port, but it's gorgeous. We just got off of a train that took us farther north, and it was much colder. It's in the low 50s.
Oh, yeah. Man, let's have some.
We don't want to hear
ship
about
it.
That.
Ship it.
Yeah, you would love it, Rufus.
Oh, my.
I've been following
you.
I told Rufus and Nelsa, I've been following you on Facebook,
yes.
And you have sent some of the most beautiful pictures.
Well, this is the prettiest. I'm going to send some. And in fact, when I get off here, I'll send you one from where I'm speaking here on the deck of the ship.
So what's the favorite thing you've seen there?
Probably what we just witnessed, because there were waterfalls, lots and lots of waterfalls, tiny little villages, and this water that's kind of emerald green that has in the rivers that flow down from the glaciers. And everywhere you look, they don't have as much snow in the higher peaks as they did last year, they say. But, I mean, there's still some snow up there. But right here on the water at sea level, it's still in the 50s, but it doesn't feel bad. There's been some terrible winds. I mean, we couldn't stop in the Skagen, Denmark, because of high seas and high winds, gale force winds.
Wow. So, what time of the day is it over there?
We're 6 hours ahead, so it's 2:45.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about...
Tom, they wait on us hand and foot. The only thing I don't have here is a valet.
I know. Listen, Viking is...
Why did it dress me?
Viking is the Disney of cruises. I mean, they think of everything.
Yeah.
Now I want to hear about...
Disney for older people.
Yeah, I want to hear about this Swedish massage that you had.
You know, it was, I've had a couple of massages. They were both at Disney when QDR was broadcasting there in the early 2000s. And that was very relaxing. This is more, they really press down on everything. It kind of hurts a little bit. But, then we get into a sauna, whirlpool, that type of thing. And it all works out. It's great.
Well, male or female massager?
Female for me, male for Melissa.
Well, that's fair enough.
Interesting.
Now, Mike, this is very...
You could request, but...
Mike, this is very important. Have you found any chitlins yet?
I have not seen chitlins, but I've seen reindeer meat.
Okay.
Like that. I could have had a reindeer burger. I have not experienced that. We haven't really eaten a lot of
local
classical local. The port we're in right now, you could do that, but we haven't eaten any.
Well, since we are supposedly a gardening show, what can you tell us about the flora and the fauna and the crops over there?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, I mean everything is green. That's not stoneware. That there are a lot of rocks and things, but in the hillsides, it's very much like the Alps in a way, except the crests are not as peaks are not as jagged, but there's greenery everywhere, and there are the spruce, lots of spruce, linden trees, and there aren't a lot of flowers, but there are some wildflowers of different types. And Rufus, we found some kind of pinkish, purplish clover.
Oh, amen. Okay, very good.
Rufus is in clover.
There's clover in this area.
Yeah.
But there are a lot. It's a lot of Norway spruce and things that you would find probably in the mountains of North Carolina or in Colorado or places like that.
But it just sounds
it's extraordinary.
It sounds like a totally different panorama than what we're used to here in this part of the world.
It is. It certainly is. In some ways, in Oslo, it looked very much. I mean, there were hills there. They were not high peaks, but they kind of look like some other places in Europe that we've been to, even to north of Greece and and some of the but it is different. The houses are quite different. There are some areas that are very isolated that would be locked in for 8 months until they found. They got all this oil money in Norway in the late 60s, and they have added a lot of infrastructure.
Well, you saw the Olympic Village up there, did you not?
Yes.
Well, in 1952, that was, they still had the ski lift or the ski jump there and the arena from 1952.
Anybody that has followed you on Facebook would get really ill with me if I didn't ask you about the scene that you saw in the Tom Cruise Mission Impossible movie where he rode a motorcycle off a cliff.
Yeah. Well, that was on the trip yesterday, and we took a boat trip, and that was pointed out to us as it's called the Pulpit Rock or Preacher's Parish. Preacher's Rock, I guess, and it kind of juts out. It's very narrow compared to some of the other ledges, and it's fairly flat. We you would have to hike up there, and I don't know how long that takes. I talked to a couple of people who did hike up there at some point, some of the natives. But, yeah, one of the movies, I can't remember which one, Fallout maybe, he was, you know, hooked to some kind of cable, and so was a motorcycle. But he took off up this thing. It was 2,000 feet high.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. He got a lot of nerve.
Well, he does his own stunts. It's just incredible.
That's really extraordinary. I wouldn't even want to watch that.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm going to go back and find that movie. I want to see it.
Yeah. All right, so tell us about the rest of your trip before you come back home. Where are you going?
We're going to Bergen tomorrow, and that will be the last stop. So we'll be there a while. We missed one of the, as I mentioned, the Denmark and one of the Norwegian stops was canceled because of weather.
Wow!
But the weather. Bergen is I guess the second largest city, and Oslo the largest. But they're still beautiful and interesting. I'm sure Bergen will be. But this is the best place I have been. This is picture book. This is stereotypical Norway here.
We've been on.
So I'd like to stay here.
Yeah. It'd be hard and difficult to conduct Weekend Gardener from over in Norway, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know, Tom. I should ask somebody.
Well, I think after I finish up here, they're going to be demanding that you get back. Don Curtis is going to be sending
that
a plane for you or something.
I'm sure you do a much better job than I.
No. We've been on a Viking flatboat river cruise, and this is an ocean cruise.
Yes, it is.
How much?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to ask you, how much bigger is the ocean ship than those flatboat cruises
much,
we went on?
Much, much bigger. These are not like the real big cruise lines, but this is like 900 people.
Wow. Yeah, because so it's only like 170 or something like that on the river boats.
Yeah, it's quite a lot. And we may take a river cruise. We've already signed up for next year. Good Lord willing, to go to Iceland.
Wow.
Well, we did the Paris to Normandy cruise and just absolutely loved it.
There's tomato hut in Iceland that I'm wanting to go to.
Now, Nelson, this is where we differ. I'm not going to Iceland just to go to a tomato hut.
Oh, my gosh. It's like everything tomato you eat in a greenhouse. It's so cool.
Well, don't worry. They won't have any mayo up there.
No, they don't do that.
But Mike, you can refuse to answer this if you want to. Have you had occasion to wear a tuxedo?
I have not anywhere. I have put on a nice jacket to go to a couple of meals, but no, sir, I haven't even thought about torn tuxedos.
Or about a sweater.
Well, that's...
No, I don't think I have violated any of the Chitlin Club rules here.
That's what I was getting at, Tom, because the CIA is listening even in Norway.
Well, today is it today JC's birthday?
Yes, it is.
And
happy birthday, JC.
He's going to be calling in, I think, before long.
I hope so. I really hope so. But no, I haven't broken any rules that I know of.
Okay,
great one.
Just checking.
Well, you are missed. Let's just tell you that. You are missed. Anybody who listens to this show, I can tell you, even as a disc jockey who started off at age 15, hosting this show and listening to this show are two entirely different experiences, and Mike does this so well and it effortlessly. I mean, you just don't even recognize that he's guiding what's going on here between him and Joel.
Well, after 40 years, a blind horse could do it.
That's right. I kind of qualify for
I'm
that.
Trying to build him up, Rufus, and here you are just cutting him down.
No, Rufus is right. He's right.
Funny.
And Joel does a fabulous job.
I told Joel that you told me that he's more like the TV producers we were used to.
Yeah, man.
When we
That's
did.
Right.
And
right.
he is.
I mean, yeah, he is.
He counts me right he's down into time. Breaks.
Right.
How's Melissa enjoying this?
Oh, yeah. It's fabulous. Fabulous. She's having such a good time.
You should have heard Tom's tribute to our friend Charlie Gaddy. It was.
I heard some of it. I was just listening before just before I called.
You were here when Charlie was here for a short while, weren't you?
No, I missed him by, he left in 1970.
Yeah.
He came to work in 1960, summer of 60, with Wally Osley. Can you imagine both of them being hired in the same year? And Charlie left in 1970 for Capitol.
Yeah, well.
But I have known him a good while.
Well,
what a loss.
If he was like you with me, every time you'd talk to him, he was so encouraging. When we were first starting NC-SPIN, he would tell me how much he enjoyed what we were doing and all of this. Always just a positive kind of guy.
Yeah, right. He was so nice.
Yeah.
He was genuinely a nice person.
He was indeed. He was indeed.
Yeah.
Well, the other part that you're going to miss today is I'm going to talk a little later on about the Angus Barnes 65th birthday party that was held last night. So, I'll tell you, that was quite a do. It was something. Well, friend,
I'll
miss you.
I'll continue listening some.
All right. We miss you. We're glad you are taking a break. I will say this. Listeners don't know this. Mike is entitled to much more vacation than he ever takes. He really is. But that's his dedication. Now, how far have you got to go to reach 50 years, or have you hit it?
I'm past it now. That was April 25th.
Okay, that's right. Well, you said you were going to wait for PTF to be 100 and you 50, and then you would retire.
What else?
I don't have anything else to do.
Yeah, well, Tom, what else does he do after he got the Broadcasters Hall of Fame?
Well, I'll tell you. Well-deserved, too, I'll tell you.
Well, still the greatest thing in my life, except for friends and family.
Well,
Good Lord.
It was so well-deserved, and people don't understand that in the broadcast business, anybody who stays in one station for any period of time, like Charlie at WREL, it is a business of turnover. I mean, talent or people on the air are constantly looking to get a better job in a bigger market with more pay and so forth like that. And the turnover is just incredible. But thank you, Mike, for staying with us.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom. I did have other opportunities, but Melissa and I love, we went to school in Raleigh. It was just equidistant between our homes. Where we grew up, and we wanted to stay there, and by golly, we did. It's unbelievable. And, you know, you were talking about Charlie. Charlie and I are very much, he was much more talented, but he and I had something in common because he worked as a page at WRC in Washington, and he was doing the paging, and all of a sudden there was
an
strike.
Open. Yeah.
Yeah, and so they
put him. Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Before the camera, and he did a great job, but when the strike was over, the union people went back to work, and he was left without a job, so he applied at PTF, and he got that job. It's kind of the same way for me. He didn't have radio experience. All I had was WKNC at stake.
And, you know, Pappy Pointer hired him, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
All right.
He probably wouldn't have hired me, but he hired Charlie, and that was a smart thing.
Well, Joel's yelling in my ear. We got to take a break and do some news.
All right,
Mike,
Joel.
So good to hear from you.
Great to hear. I love you all.
Goodbye.
Bye, Mike.
Bye.
Travel safe.
Yes, sir.
Back with more after the news.